Today on Common Ground Radio, we're talking about the Earth Loom. Originated by Susan Barrett Merrill, the Earth Loom is a way for many hands to weave together to build community. One Earth Loom is located in Unity, Maine, at MOFCA's Common Ground Education Center, which is the home of the annual Common Ground Country Fair. Here, a large granite loom is sited in a garden of dye plants used for naturally coloring fiber. Thanks to Susan's efforts, Earth Looms can also be found elsewhere around the world, from Portugal and the United Kingdom to Canada and Australia. I'm Holly Cederholm, your host for a conversation about local food and organic agriculture brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. I'm joined by Susan Barrett Merrill, originator of the Earth Loom. She has trained over 200 women throughout the world to teach others her Weaving a Life program of personal development and community building through weaving. Her book, called The Art of Weaving a Life, introduces how weaving can help to build our inner lives. In addition to being a weaver, Susan spins wool and for over 40 years has been a Wednesday spinner, a group of Down East women who spin wool on Wednesdays at each other's homes and have been exhibiting at the Common Ground Country Fair since 1978. Susan, welcome to Common Ground Radio.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you, Holly.
Oh, I'm happy to have you here. To start, I'd like to talk a little bit about your relationship to fiber and fiber arts.
Well, I have been a fiber artist for, you know, pretty much over 60 years. And so it's been a fun journey so far, you know, just learning how to weave, spin, felt. And it seems to be the work that I'm meant to do in this life. So I'm having a wonderful time doing it.
How did you get started? 60 years is a long time. Like, what was the introduction to working with fiber?
Well, my mother was a fiber artist and all my ancestors were fiber artists. So they had sheep and wool and wove blankets. And my mother must have knit at least 100 sweaters. And I have always loved fiber because it's warm and cozy. And so I actually had a dream. And in the dream, I was given a mask. And the mask was woven. And an elder from another place and time was the person who gave me this mask. Oh, an older woman. And she said, "This mask is going to help you in your life work. I'm going to show you how to make it. And you're going to be able to help a lot of other people as well." And so, of course, I woke up and thought, okay, sure. And I already had been a weaver for a while, but I tried what she recommended. I thought, okay, this is a face that was flat woven. You pull the threads of the warp after you take it off the loom, and it forms a three-dimensional weaving and a face. And the first one I made, I was very shocked at how beautiful it was. I thought, this is a very interesting thing. So, of course, I had to make another one. And now that I've made hundreds of these masks, and I wrote a book about them, and I teach it, but mainly the work that I do with weaving now is about how to really discover our values. I see the warp, which are the vertical threads in weaving, as our values, and the weft, our daily actions. And this came also at the same time as this dream. And since then, I've taught hundreds of people the art of weaving a life. So I designed a whole work and life's work around weaving a life.
Yeah, and I'd love to get into that a little bit more. So a part of weaving a life is an earth loom. So that's a concept that you originated. Can you orient us with what an earth loom is and how it exists in space and what it looks like and how it might be different or the same as like a traditional loom when people are thinking of like a tabletop loom?
Right. Well, it started because I've always lived near the ocean and the beach is close by and I spend many hours roaming the beaches around Brooksville, Maine and other spots. And so I would pick up sticks and I would play with them. And it turned out that I found a lot of beaver sticks at one time that were washed up on the beach. And so I would collect them. And I started collecting seven sticks, playing the game of what if I had two long sticks, two medium sticks, two short sticks, and an odd stick. And I put them together as a loom. And you could do that on the beach. You could find flotsam, you know, from netting and stuff to put this loom together and weave with stuff, seaweed, flotsam, whatever. And so I was playing with that and it became the earth loom. I have five sizes of earth looms now. There's a personal one that sits in your lap. There's a one for kids that's on a notebook, basically. And so they can put it in their backpack. It's about weaving friendship. And then there are the larger ones, which are community weavings. And it's sort of like right now in this time of unraveling in our lives that we need a way to connect and create a collective understanding of each other to create a way to work together. And my purpose now in life is to really connect my head with my heart, with my hands. Because if I have a purpose of something that I'm weaving with my hands that I'm excited about, I know that I can move forward in my life. And I love working with other people to do the same thing.
Yeah, I really like that orientation. So when you're talking about working with other people and collaborating on like a community scale on one of these larger earth loom projects, what does that look like? What's an example of a larger loom and how it functions to weave people together in the world?
Well, I have to say that at the Common Ground Country Fair, we had our first earth loom in, I think it was 2010, that we had a pocket park and a dye garden and a beautiful stone wall created by the Stoneworkers Guild, who were at the Common Ground Fair also, Joe Osiello and Norm. And they came over and said, what if we made a loom out of granite? And I got so excited. We wrote a grant. We got permission to do it there. And now there's this beautiful granite earth loom at the Common Ground Fair. And it's been just a wonderful central framework, can I say, for community building. Because everyone loves to come over to the earth loom once it's warped. And there are baskets of things to weave. There are pieces of cloth. And it depends on the weaving that we do. We, at Farm and Homestead Day this year, we wove at a weaving called Acts of Kindness. And we had a big birch bark sign on the top that said Acts of Kindness. And we had pieces of birch bark that people could write on what they wanted to do as a kind thing. And that beautiful weaving that came out of that is going to be displayed at the Acts of Kindness booth, which is Jeff Edelstein's booth. And that's it in the social and political area of the fair this year.
I have seen the loom. I've walked by it many, many fairs. And I didn't realize that what was being woven had sort of a life beyond the loom. I always saw the people sitting there and, you know, coming by and weaving, but I didn't realize that there were different tapestry projects underway. So each year, what is woven ends up existing beyond the fair?
Well, every single weaving is purposeful. So each year, it's something different. And we do three weavings, one weaving a day at the Common Ground Fair each year. So I get up at 6 a.m. and I put the warp on and put the materials out to weave. And some years I just let people show up to weave whatever they want. And those years I've made the weavings into market bags that have been then sold and the money goes to the Common Ground Fair. Other years we have done a weaving a day for someone who couldn't be at the fair. And that weaving was then gifted to that person that was ill or for some reason couldn't come. So every year there's been a different sort of focus. And certainly this year, we really need to do more acts of kindness. So we're just working on how do we bring people together to really feel safe, purposeful, focused. I just think it's great to have a way to use your hands to do something meaningful.
I really like that. I feel like it connects to gardening in some ways when you're creating something with your mm-hmm. hands, but it's also connecting you to the larger world around you and to people in community. So you mentioned that you have a book and that it's sort of a guide to weaving a life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. This book came to me to write the mask that I originally had begun weaving many of, is about identity. I had to really think, what is this? Why would I do this? And once that began to take root, I realized that following the thread, basically, from conception through death, to see what are the stages of development in terms of our own inner life. And the book is about that. Each chapter, there are seven things that you weave on it's called the journey earth loom, which fits in your lap. And you can weave in bed, you can take it on trips, you can weave anywhere. So on the journey earth loom, you begin by calling something new into your life. Each of the threads becomes one of your values, and you place a color on your values. The actual sticks on the loom became a framework for your body. One is the thinking stick, the feeling stick. The two edge ones are the being and doing sticks. Listening and talking are the cross sticks on the top. And then this odd stick is that part of our spiritual life, which filters down into everything we do. So it was a way to look at ourselves through our hands and what we're creating. So the first thing that you make is an amulet, and you call something new into your life that you would like. And you just begin there and continue on.
You are listening to Common Ground Radio. I'm Holly Cederholm. And on today's show, I'm talking with Susan Barrett Merrill, originator of the Earth Loom. Her book and plans for the Earth Loom are available at weavingalife.com. To see the original Earth Loom and to weave on it yourself, visit the Common Ground Country Fair in Unity, Maine this September. Advance tickets for the event are on sale now at mofca.org, and the full schedule and other event details are also available on Mofca's website. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at weru.org. It is brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. Through your book and through some courses that you teach, you have spread earth looms throughout the world. So there's one that we were talking about on the Common Ground Country Fairgrounds in Unity, Maine, but you also have helped people develop looms in their communities across the globe. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Oh, it's been so much fun. Well, here's one story that I loved in particular, which was about a family. This was one of my students, and usually at the end of the class that I teach, which is a 12-week class, 1 hour a week for 3 months, and you're weaving those seven key forms, I call them. But then we talk about the earth loom, because the earth loom is just a larger one of the smaller journey looms. So this family was having their big family reunion. 100 people were coming, and they all gathered. They were going to have a giant bonfire. And when they got there, the fire had already been burnt in the big hayfield. And they thought, what are we going to do? And the student said, let's build an earth loom. So half the people went out in the woods and got the big logs to build this loom, dug the holes, got the chainsaws out. And it involved everybody. A whole group went shopping. They got materials. They made hearts for the couple that were getting married. They just had pieces of it. Everybody made a giant circle around the loom, drinking beer and having a good time. And everybody had a chance to weave something into this loom that they wanted to. And at the end of this weekend that they focused around the earth loom, one person's mother had just been buried up on the hill. And so they took the whole loom, re-put it up by her gravesite, and said, Mom, you would have loved this. Here you go. And so they gave the weaving to Mom. And it just was so sweet that was one of the earth looms stories.
Yeah. And I think paints a really beautiful picture. At least I'm seeing like a multi-generational activity, like folks of all different ages and skills and abilities can collaborate on that project. It seems like the Earth Loom can bring people in community in a way that feels really accessible on different levels.
I guess one of the things I do love about it, especially when at the Common Ground Fair, I know that two-year-olds can come up to this Earth Loom and start weaving right away. They see how to do it. They just look at it and go, oh, I get this. And every age comes. You can do it with many hands all at once, front, back. It is so simple to do, basically, because it's so simple and beautiful that you're going over, under, over, under, over, under with these threads and with cloth or with another thing you can do is a whole recycling idea around these looms of recycling, showing there are different topics that you can have to weave with. But this is what we've been doing at the fair. And I love seeing that all ages, all people come together. People of any ability can do it. It's fascinating. It's really fun to do.
So the loom at the fair is also, like you said, it's oriented in this pocket park that's surrounded by dye plants. And I'm thinking of, you know, just the synergy of natural dyeing and natural fibers. Is that something that gets showcased through the Earth Loom?
Well, I have been so grateful. Penelope Olson, Diantha Turner, and Jack Cortez, who's the landscape coordinator at MOFCA, have been working really hard to make this pocket park beautiful. And that the dye plants are all marked about, you know, labeled as to what they are. And so the big stone, there's a circular stone wall that you can sit on around the pocket park. So during the fair and at other times, everybody wants to sit on the stone wall. It's the perfect height to have your lunch and to just watch what's happening on the loom, to look at the flowers in the pocket park. And right now we have madder plants, which are the red, the classic red. We have weld, which is a very wonderful yellow, makes a beautiful yellow plant dye. There's indigo, Japanese indigo growing, which is the blue. So we've got the whole spectrum of color, basically, and lots of different types of dye plants.
That's really great. For folks who haven't been to the fair, there's also a whole fiber section of the fair, which you participate in another way as a Wednesday spinner. So who are the Wednesday spinners and what is your involvement with them?
The Wednesday spinners are probably one of the most fun groups of people to ever be with that you could imagine, because we have met every week during the winter. We don't meet during the summer because most people are gardening or organic farmers. So we meet once a week on Wednesdays and we all sit together and spin at somebody's house and a person makes soup and coffee and we all bring delicious things to eat and we hang out and chat. And it's such an ancient thing. You can feel how women have been doing this for a long time because it's very nurturing and supporting. You have a real group, but you're getting something accomplished as you meet. And it's just fun to have something like that to do, to spin with your hands. And at the fair, they have been meeting for over 40 years, maybe 45 years now. And I've been part of that group for about 40 years. And we have demonstrated everything you can imagine, from dyeing to weaving to, you know, every kind of spinning, every kind of interesting ancient technique that we could think of. And we're still having fun doing it. So we're very grateful that the fair still wants us there. And we have so much fun just seeing everybody and being able to spin there and teach spinning.
So for folks who might not be fiber artists or connected to these ancient traditions, I'm wondering if maybe we could step back and talk about the process of the fiber. So spinning happens after wool is shorn from the sheep, and then the wool is used. I mean, there's steps in between that, but then the wool is used in tapestries or other processes like knitting. So maybe you can give an overview of how the fiber world connects for people who are not fiber artists and they're like, what are you spinning? What's going on with the spin?
Good question. That's such a great question. Well, there are islands up by Addison, Maine, where there are wild sheep. And they have been tended by, from the beginning, the lighthouse keepers to now Donna Kausen and Danny Estelle and people that are fiber people and shearers shear those sheep. And I've been going out there with them for many years to grade and roll the fleeces. But so sheep get shorn once a year, usually. And that wool then can do many different things. Mostly a person who spins will take a fleece, wash the wool, card it, which means getting all the fibers of that fleece going in this one direction, and then spinning that. So once it's been washed and carded, personally, the work that I do, I have a fleece from one of those sheep or a sheep. Those are a Lincoln Romney cross. There are many, many breeds of sheep. And at the fleece tent, where you can go buy a fleece at the Common Ground Fair, there is information about all the different breeds of sheep so that you can look and touch and feel all of those fleeces that are for sale. I spin it in the grease, which means I take the fleece right from the sheep and spin it just the way it is. So I love spinning these island fleeces because they're very clean. There's nothing they can get into on the island. It's not in a barn. It's not, you know, they're super clean and they're long and lustrous. And so I have to work to find the right fleece to spin.
So then once you've spun it, your primary product is then in the weaving.
Yes. I think because I love spinning it out of the fleece itself, I've just, you know, and then I actually weave with it that way, but then I felt it. So the felting process is heat and friction, which is in hot water. So it gets completely scrubbed at that point in my process. And I think everybody has a different process when they're doing fiber work, but that's just sheep. There are a lot of different kinds of fiber and you can find it all at the fair, from Angora rabbits to llamas to camel hair to just really interesting fiber, and see what you can do with it. It's fun. You just play.
For folks who do want to check out the Earth Loom at MOFCA's Education Center at the fair this year, what recommendations do you have for them interacting with the loom?
Oh, that's a great question, too. I think mainly just come right up to the loom. Kathy Belcher is now the steward of the loom, and she will be there if you have any questions at all about what you'd like to do or how to do it. I think this year we're going to be doing some more acts of kindness weavings. It's just going to be exciting to see who would like to weave, and everybody's invited, you know, all ages. You can do this. And that's one of the fun parts of it, is that we can all be weavers. And it's fun to see how to do it, what it looks like, and realize I can make one of these myself. So I have a website where you can download plans to make your own earth loom.
When people are making their own earth loom, do you have recommendations about materials? Like, it seems like you can use found materials. You can use more manufactured material. Like, it seems like there's not as many hard and fast rules as one might expect.
Right. I think a loom is such an elemental shape. You can use four sticks to make a loom. The actual children's earth loom that I've done is on a three-ring binder. And in the pencil case inside are all the materials you need to weave. So you're weaving on the cover. And honestly, I have taught that for many years in schools. We would go get an encyclopedia and hand one out to each child, and they would start weaving on the cover, and we would be weaving friendship bracelets. And so since my orientation is toward the collective, let's work for peace, you know, I feel like it's just a great way to weave together the things that we love and want to make.
I wanted to circle back. You're talking about weaving together and peace, and you're talking about the Acts of Kindness weaving project that happened at Farm and Homestead Day, and that will be happening again at the fair. So you mentioned that the threads embody values and actions. And I wanted to talk about how you developed that framework, if that's unique to your A Weaving Life project, or if there's innate symbolism that exists in weaving that you've sort of adapted to think about the acts of kindness.
I think weaving is in many ways an obvious way to connect, you know, in interesting ways. I actually one day was standing in a line for lunch. There was a Peruvian shaman in front of me in line. I knew he was there for a day, and I asked him, so what's the most important thing to know about shamanism? He said, well, I get up in the morning and I spend time getting vertical. I connect with my higher power, from the earth to the higher power. And then I spend my day coming from my heart horizontally. And it just, I went, that's weaving. So that was the beginning of really seeing how our vertical threads are our connection. It's really our soul work that we're doing, and that our horizontal threads that we weave are our daily actions. It's what we're doing minute to minute on this warp, this vertical life. So it's kind of fun to think about that. And that's how that started.
Are there any other things you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, I do want to give you the website so you can download your Earthloom plans, but also just get 7 sticks and make an Earthloom yourself. So it's weavingalife.com. You can access a lot of information stuff there, and the book you can get, the Earthloom plans. But I really encourage people to just be creative and have fun, play. You know, really, we need so much to feel loved. That we're just surrounded by something that's fun to do, and that it means something to us. It's meaningful. So that's it.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Susan.
Thank you, Holly.
I hope to see you at the fair.
You will. Thank you.
This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio. Archives of previous episodes can be found on WERU.org, as well as the WERU app. I'd like to thank Susan for joining me today. Perhaps you'll catch her spinning with the Wednesday Spinners or weaving on the Earthloom at the Common Ground Country Fair, which is happening on September 19th, 20th, and 21st. Visit mofka.org for details. As always, the show wouldn't be possible without editing by Claire Boland. Stay tuned for more great programming.